Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here today on The Brighter Side of Recovery. And this is sponsored by SOBA Recovery Center. And I'm so excited. Sherry, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Jennifer?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right, Tom?
Everything's great over here on Saturday afternoon.
Very good. And we've got Warren Brada. How are you, Warren?
I'm doing great.
Good. Thank you so much for joining. And we are the brighter side of recovery. And that's what we're going to do here today, talk about that. But I do want to remind you of all of our other shows. One, we have a 6 to 7 and 7 to 8. And those are the brighter side of life. And this is, of course, our special hour of the brighter side of recovery. And Sherry, you want to talk about what is recovery? I mean, for us, it really isn't just about drugs. It's about recovery of anything that you're coming, right?
Well, we always talk about that often other things keep us asleep. And so what's keeping us asleep? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Codependency? Sex? Sex addiction? Love addiction? Obsessive love? Gambling? Internet shopping? Gossip? Being depressed? Anxious? Whatever it is that's keeping you from being awake and fully alive to your life. And I bet Warren could even answer that, too.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. Warren, can you add to that?
I would say, you know, recovery is so multifaceted, and the things that anything that we often, when I'm working with my clients, it's if there's shame or if there's guilt involved, there is an addiction or at least a problem present that is keeping us from living the life that we want to live.
Exactly. So just recovery of getting the life we want.
Recovering, getting your life back.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we are the brighter side of addiction. We've got Warren. And Warren, tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You missed us last week, but I'm so glad you're on.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. And yes, thank you for the introduction. My name is Warren Broad, and I'm the creator of the Recovery in the Now program, and which is a program for individuals coming out of addictions and compulsive behaviors. And really what I work on doing is bringing people out of that sleep that Sherry was talking about and moving into an aspect of their recovery that allows them to really take their life back into their hands.
I love it. And thank you so much for being a part of our team. I do want to remind anybody that is just tuning in, you can not only listen to us on the radio, but you can visit us now on dynamictalkradio.com every day from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and then 2 to 3. And you can listen live right there. Also, you can visit us on our website at kimpaganoshow.com, and also follow us on Facebook. We're all on Facebook. Follow us there. And if you are interested in you know, becoming one of our followers with our newsletter, I'd love to have you do that. I want to give out our phone number here. It's 805-419-0008, 419-0008. All you have to do is call us all the way through the show anytime and tell us we want to win. We want to be a part of your show. We want a newsletter, any of those things, and one of our team members will get back with you. You are going to get just a message, and we're different from all the other shows. What we do is we have our team members get back with you. So again, 419-0008, 805-419-0008. Also, I want to tell you a little bit about our show today. Our first guest is Candace Platter. And she is the author of Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself, and the Top 10 Survival Tips for Loving Someone with an Addiction. Also, Deborah Alessandra is going to be talking about her book, 12 Steps, 12 Stories, Spiritual Messages of Recovery for Children and the Child in You. Right now, I want to take a moment to tell you all the amazing things that we have that we're going to give away here, and we would love you to be a part of that. And that's why you need to write that phone number down, 419-0008, 419-0008. Tom?
And let's check out what the list has. Hairspray the Musical, Simi Valley Cultural Arts Center. That's happening all the way through February 15th. Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night. That's with Jason Love, bringing in the best comedies around Southern California. That's for February 18th at the Camarillo Paseo Cinemas. Caneo Players Theater, beautiful theater in Thousand Oaks. Nice small theater off Moore Park Road at the 101. How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And that runs through April 12th. We also have a play at the Rubicon Theater. The last 5 years, Rubicon Theater Company of Ventura announcing this big show the last 5 years, and it's going to be excellent. I think most of us here in the studio have seen it, and it's incredible. Harlem Globetrotters, a whole lot of fun. Get a little sports with your comedy. Santa Barbara, Wednesday, February 11th, and in L.A., February 6th, all the way through to the 16th. Stomp, some dancing, some craziness, and a lot of raucous fun with Stomp. That is going to be in Thousand Oaks at the Fred Cavalli Theater and also in Santa Barbara at the Granada. Finally, the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, Amazing Automobiles. It's the ultimate car exhibit there through May 1st. All wonderful prizes that any of the Kim Pagano listeners would love to win.
There you go. Is that a lot or what?
We have a ton of great
that,
stuff
Tom?
To give away.
I know. All in one breath. That's pretty good.
I love it. Well, I'm going to start off with some Hairspray, the musical tickets. And as being a hair therapist, I want to go see that. But that's over at Simi Valley Cultural Arts Center. And that's January 16th through the 15th, February 15th. And all you have to do is call up and leave us your name and number. And then when one of the operators and team members get back with you, you can tell them what you want to win. We have a couple things also for Valentine's Day.
We have some great Valentine's Day giveaways. The one that I think is the best is the two-night weekend stay at the Sheraton in Agora Hills. That's a staycation. That's a great thing to do. We also have a $25 gift card to Laura's Fish House. There's one located in Westlake and then one out here in Camarillo, Oxnard area.
And Ventura. And now they're building one in Santa Barbara.
That's a great fish restaurant.
I love
restaurant.
This one, the Roses and Tulips.
Those
that's
are
nice.
Yes, a Roses and Tulips flower arrangement from A Secret Garden in Ventura. Those are great. Those are great flowers. This is the perfect time to get those.
Yeah, and we've got a ton more, but I want to get on with our first guest here. And again, for anybody that's just joining us right now, I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry, Jennifer, Warren, and Tom. And our first guest is Candace Platter. Candace, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
Oh, okay. Well, back in the 70s, when I was in my early 20s, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is an inflammatory bowel illness, quite devastating and quite debilitating sometimes. And at that time, Crohn's was a pretty new illness. The doctors really didn't know what to do with me, and so what they did was they gave me a lot of prescription medications like Valium and codeine and Demerol, which would be equivalent to probably OxyContin today, and they gave me as much of that as I wanted for many, many months and years, and I took it just like any patient would who needed that medication and became addicted to it.
Wow. Okay. Warren, can you start us off on that?
Well, it's an entry that we see all the time. This is one of the unfortunate sides of the prescribe and monitor that we see from so many GPs and from the mainstream medicine, is that it's prescribe and monitor and rather than what we're seeing, at least, is the great thing is this is beginning to change. So
hi, Candace. This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
So glad you're here today. And what I love about having you here today is that our show really also wants to focus on the families of the addict. I mean, we really spend a lot of time focusing on the addictions, but we care so much about those that are in pain that love an addict. So you kind of, you know, you come from another perspective, and I'd love to hear more about how did that happen.
Well, when I reached my bottom with all of those medications and reached out for help, it was about 15 years after I was diagnosed with Crohn's. And at that point, I started going to 12-step programs and decided that, you know, I learned more and more about addiction, and I really wanted to be in that field. I wanted to give back, and I wanted to help. And so I started working as an addictions counselor in the area of Vancouver called the Downtown East Side, which is Canada's poorest area and with the most per capita addicts and alcoholics there, and homeless people as well. And so I was down there for about 16 years working as a counselor. And what started to happen was that the loved ones of the clients that I was seeing started to call me at the end of their ropes. They just didn't know what to do. And I started to see them. At the time, I had no idea how to help them. But as I heard their stories and I heard what was going on for them and what they were doing with the addicts that they loved so dearly, I knew there was something very wrong with this picture.
Candace, I have a question for you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I didn't realize I did that. Sorry. So when you do love an addict, per se, I feel like the not necessarily just an addict, but any person that's causing the drama, they don't realize how that affects all the people around them. They don't get that because they're causing it. So if you find yourself in a relationship with someone who is an addict, is it helpful to learn this ahead of time, all the ways to communicate within that relationship?
Well, I think a lot of people get into these relationships with people with addiction without realizing that they're doing that. It's not until later on that they realize that these behaviors are so destructive. So I'm not really sure if, you know, I mean, I think anybody learning about it beforehand would be a good thing anyway, but definitely if you find yourself in this kind of relationship, you need to reach out. If you're a loved one, you need to reach out and get some help for yourself first.
And it's the personality itself, you know. Often you want to look at things like the isms, you know, maybe Warren, you can address this, but it isn't just about the drugs or the alcohol, but take away that and what's underneath. What is the personality of an addict alcoholic?
Yeah, Warren, what's your thought?
Well, I think it is such an individual thing, but I really do agree that we can't go through these things in isolation. And the moment that any family member reaches out, they move themselves from being in a very helpless and confused place to at least being able to take some action, which immediately puts them, you know, back at least somewhat in the driver's seat.
Candace, what I want to ask you is, so what are the top 10 survival tips for loving someone with an addiction?
Well, do you want me to go through all 10, or maybe
yeah,
I could
sure.
talk?
Or, you know,
maybe
or,
just a couple.
I mean, or the top that you know.
The ones that would really help those of us
yeah.
who are not familiar with this.
I think there are three that are really most important. I think all of them are important, but I think there are three that really, survival tip number three says you cannot control or fix another person, so stop trying.
So that just really is codependent. I mean, that really doesn't even cover just addiction. That's
I was just
going to
say, that's
right?
in life.
I mean,
you cannot
agree?
Change somebody.
Yeah, Warren.
That's a great life tip.
Yeah, yeah, I would say definitely. Right.
Even with your children, I mean, you kind of have to realistically look at their personalities and say, okay, this one I can tell him what to do, but this one we're going to have to negotiate.
Yeah, and not only that is, you know, I've heard also that's their journey, right? If we stop them because we had a different journey, we could protect them, but we're actually changing their journey.
And that kind of has to do with, you don't want to, you know, saving an addict. You can't save them. They have their destiny. We have to give them the respect to have their destiny. It's like someone once said, you know, how can you support their recovery and not enable their disease? So you have to look at what is it you're doing that's supporting their recovery and what are you doing that actually could be hurting them in the long run?
Right. Candace, what's number two?
Well, the next one would be, just looking up the exact wording here in my book, the next one is learn the difference between helping and enabling.
So what's the difference? I think our listeners really need to hear that.
That's a great,
okay.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I have a really kind of simple definition for these. Enabling behaviors are ones that keep the addiction going, and helping behaviors are the ones that assist it to stop.
Wow. And Warren, can you speak to that?
I think that's bang on. I would have said the exact same thing, that what came to my mind is giving money is enabling.
Yeah.
Giving love is supporting.
Right. We had a guest on last week, and they were talking about a family that they had just, were working with. And not did they total one car, but like three cars. Wasn't that right, Sherry? And we were like, well, wait, how'd they get the other cars? Because the parents kept buying them another one. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, it's like, when is it enough? If the behavior isn't, I just heard
it's
this
like
the other day. If your mouth isn't following your feet, guess what? It's not going to work. And so we need to be the one that doesn't keep letting that behavior go on. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, I'm so glad that you're here. And again, if you are just walking in and you can't listen on the radio, we are also on dynamictalkradio.com. You can listen to us all week long. And you can listen to our other shows too, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and 2 to 3. And of course, if you missed any part of our show, you can always listen on KimPaganoShow.com and TuneIn Radio. And again, I am Kim. I'm here with Sherry. I'm here with Jennifer, Tom, Warren Broad. And our guest right now is Candace Platter. And we are talking about 12 step, or actually loving an addict and loving yourself. But we are actually on the second step or survival tip for loving someone with an addiction.
Mm-hmm. And if I could also add to your discussion that what the gentleman was saying before about loving is supporting, what we need to understand is that enabling is never a loving act.
Right, right.
Because it could be hurting them.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would think, Sherry, is that if you're enabling them, you're almost encouraging them to continue doing the bad behavior.
And it's really hard to be a tough love. And that's, Warren, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we can't reinforce the addiction, and really anything that allows the addict to go back out to score again or do whatever is necessary to keep their addiction alive.
So Candace, I experienced this personally, not only professionally, this idea of loving an addict, and of course for me the 12 steps, Al-Anon was very helpful. What else would you recommend to our listeners if they need help? They just don't know where to turn.
Right. Well, I do recommend that they read my book, which they can find on Amazon or on my website. And I also recommend that they find some support for themselves through a counselor who specializes in working with loved ones, who knows how to help, or maybe with somebody from their spiritual group, somebody maybe who's a friend who would be able to be supportive in a neutral kind of way without giving a lot of advice.
One of the things I want to talk about, Candace, and is that you want to have safe friends. Isn't that important, Warren? Safe friends, because it's not something that you really can talk to everybody about.
That's
safety
a really good point.
Important.
No, and so many of the loved ones feel that they've caused their loved one's addiction, the addict's addiction, and they really have not. And many loved ones, if you're a loved one listening, you are not responsible for the addict's choices. You're not responsible for the addiction. You have contributed in some ways, perhaps, that have kept the addiction going, but you're not responsible for that, and you don't have to feel guilty and ashamed for that. But it is a good idea to talk to people who won't judge you, who will be able to give you the right kind of support, and you absolutely deserve and need that.
Wow. It's such a shame, Warren, that there's, and Candace, that there's such shame and stigma still around this subject, that you still have, it's still taboo to talk to just anybody about it, even though it's so prevalent in our media.
Right.
And around.
You know what? We need to take a really quick break from and let you know all about our sponsors. I want to, when we come back, just talk about what all the different addicts that you're talking about in your book. So if you could both with us, stay with us right now. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Recovery of Life, and by SOBA Living and SOBA Addiction Recovery Centers. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And I'd love to just throw something out there. How about some tickets to Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night with Jason Love? That's Wednesday, February 18th. Call in right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. All you have to do is leave us your name and number. I do want to remind everybody that is just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Soba Recovery Center. And we're talking with Candace Platter. We're talking about loving an addict and loving yourself. And that really, the name just speaks for itself. I do want to remind you that Warren is here with us, Warren Broad, Sherry Gava, Jennifer Chastain, and Tom Spence, and I'm Kim. Candace, what kind of addicts are you talking about in your book?
You know, I work with addicts across the board. It really doesn't matter to me what the addiction is. I work with people who are certainly dealing with substance abuse, like alcohol and drugs. Also, people who have eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, smoking, gambling, internet addiction, where you get glued to the screen and you just can't stop, gaming, sex addiction, compulsive overspending, codependency in relationships, any of the addictions, and anything can become an addiction. You know, we can basically use anything to hide from what we're feeling.
And Warren and Candace and Sherry, I want to ask you, when does it become, and when do you know that it's an addiction?
And it's when your life is becoming unmanageable. You're out of control, and those around you are noticing it.
Yeah, Warren.
You know, I mean, I've had people come into my office where their husband's doing all those internet games, Facebook games, and they're like, he doesn't spend any time with me. And it's like, okay, we got a problem here.
Yeah, Warren, what's your take on that?
One of the predominant things I would say is when the shame and guilt cycle really begins to take hold, that an individual is going against their own higher self, or you know, their own morality, that they come away from their behavior, whatever it is, and they don't feel like they are happy with the time that they spent doing whatever they did.
Right. Candace, what's your thought?
Well, I agree with everything that's been said. I think when people start to lose things in their lives, when they lose relationships, they lose jobs, they lose income, their lives, as Sherry was saying, just spin out of control. And, yeah, they're out of integrity with themselves. And I also believe, I'm an addict in recovery with 27 years clean and sober now.
Congratulations.
And I remember back when I was using, and I knew deep inside me that there was something wrong. There was something wrong here. And I think that addicts do know inside of themselves when they're out of integrity with themselves.
So Candace and Warren, I'm thinking about our audience. We have a lot of parents listening. How do they look for the signs and symptoms of enabling behaviors? What are they doing?
Well, like what's a good sign that your kids might be in trouble.
That too.
And then how do you stop helping them to stay in trouble? Or enabling them?
I'll just reword that.
To stay in trouble? How can you? Yeah, what are the precautions that you need to take?
But how do you know you're enabling them? That's the thing. I don't think people understand truly what the difference is. Go ahead.
Well, I can jump in here. I think that when parents are enabling, again, they know that they're enabling. I have so many clients who come in, they sit down, and they say, I know I'm enabling, but...
Oh, they already know it right off the
bat. And
bell.
Listen, you know what? You can be in a lot of recovery professionals are listening to our show, and I got to tell you, you could be in the field, and you could still be enabling. Ask me.
Warren, your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think there comes a time, I believe, that all parents have a good intuition when it comes to their children, and when their intuition begins to tell them that the stories they're hearing or the money that's going out just doesn't seem to line up, that this is when we have to dig deeper. And a lot of parents aren't necessarily wanting to do that.
I was just going to say, Warren, I feel like it's you know in your gut that something's not right. You have to
act on
it. You've got to, even though it's probably going to be something you don't want to know about, you have to act on it.
And I think a lot of parents are in denial, and they don't want to be that they're not doing a good job. And it's not about, I said this last week, it's not about you not doing a good job. It's really about being a responsible parent as a human being and knowing that this might be your last chance to help your kid or a loved one.
But we put so much, when our children succeed, we celebrate in that success as if it's our own. So then when they fail, you have to take the failure as well.
Right.
I have a question for Candace. How do you take care of yourself? Because the second half of the book is tips for loving someone or loving yourself.
No, we didn't even touch on that.
I would love to have you back to talk about that. But, what about loving yourself? How do you take care of yourself when you do have this focus in your life of an addict that's struggling?
Well, and I was going to say the third tip that I was going to talk about today is know that self-care does not equal selfish.
Self-loving
is
not selfish.
Many of the people who are enabling loved ones feel like feel like, if I take care of myself, then I'm going to be looked upon as selfish. And often they're told that they're selfish. So their needs get put on the back burner, and that's not healthy for anybody. One of the major things to do is look at it holistically from physical and emotional and mental and spiritual. What do you need to do to take care of yourself? What nourishes you? What feeds your spirit? How are you doing?
Because I
ask them, how are you? And they start talking about their addicted loved one right away.
Right. Candace,
And I think that really needs to be looked at.
All right. Well, Candace Platter, loving an addict, loving yourself, what a great topic. We'd love to have you back again. Where do we find out more about you?
Okay. I would love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Where do we find out more about you?
Oh, where do you find out more about me? my website is www.candaceplatter.com. And if I could just spell it, because people misspell both of my names all the time. So it's CANDACEPLATTOR. So it's CandacePlatter.com.
Very good.
You can find out all of the information there. Yeah, it's all laid out.
Thank you, Candace, so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Candace.
Warren, stay with us. Everybody stay with us because we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Deborah Alexandra, and we're going to be talking about 12 steps, 12 stories, spiritual messages of recovery for children and that child in you. So you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, and we'll be right back. Let's do a giveaway. How about the last 5 years of Rubicon Theater? That's January 21st through the February 15th, and 419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com and check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair, and she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here. I do want to remind you of our 6 o'clock show, and our 7 o'clock show is a new hour. And then, of course, right now we are talking about our brighter side of recovery. We've got Warren Broad on with us. So glad he's a part of our team. And Sherry Gaba, Jennifer Chastain, Tom Spence, and, of course, I'm Kim. Our next guest is Deborah Alexandra, and her book is 12 Steps, 12 Stories, Spiritual Messages of Recovery for Children and the Child in You. And Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the Brighter Side of Recovery. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great.
Thanks for calling.
Of course. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
I'm an educator and a former counselor. I did prevention work at one point in my life, and the idea for that story is comes from that encounter with children. I've spent most of my life in the company of children. So back in the late 80s, I was working with a group of children of alcoholics, and we were talking about the disease of addiction. And we were talking about their feelings, of course. And one day, one of the children asked me what mommy was doing now. She was still going out at night. And I thought I would find material about recovery for children, but I couldn't. And so I wrote a story to help those children understand what mommy might be doing out at night.
That's fantastic. What a need there
is
for this. I mean, there are so few programs for the children. I mean, I know about Betty Ford has a family program, but how wonderful to have a story, because they really suffer so much.
Yeah. Warren, what do you tell your patients with that, you know?
Kind or the of children.
This, yeah, or the children, exactly.
Well, I have direct experience with it. So I came out of a home of alcohol, and it's longstanding. There is a high need, and I really have to congratulate Deborah on tackling the issue.
Thank you. I'd like both of you to answer this, but what were the effects, Warren? And I don't know, Deborah, if you came from a family or what you saw, but Warren, what were some of the effects? I mean, if you want to share, what are some of the effects you experienced?
I would say the biggest thing was that I became, being able to look at this as a therapist now, I became very needy. They're one of the things that when there is a parent or direct loved one that isn't accessible.
Not available.
Available or accessible a lot of the time. we end up with very needy children.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that funny? If you give your children 15 minutes, they'll, I hate to say this, but kind of leave you alone when they're younger. So when a parent that's not able to give that to them, they're constantly wanting something from the parent.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is my husband and I just read the Five Languages of Love, and I don't know if any of you have read it. Oh, my God. When you find
it's
out what
book.
Your – thanks, Warren. When you find out what your love is, I mean, I'm telling you, it's like you're filling their love tank. I think that every kid should read that and early on know – what it is that makes them fill up, you know, and that makes what makes each person, each one of us are so different. And you know, at first mine was the gift of giving, you know, and my husband's like, oh, of course, you would want gifts all the time.
Right.
But it's not. It's just, you know, he'll come home and bring me flowers, and it just is like he gave me $1 million. It's the little things in life that, you know, make a difference. And so I love this. Deborah, what is the response that you're getting from, you know, and how old are the children that this book really pertains to?
Well, the children were 6 to 10 years old, 11. I think I had one child who was 11, but I'd like to say the book's for children 6 to 96.
I love it, 6 to 96. And that's what you mean by the child in you. And as Warren was saying, but it's really all of us, you know. All of us, you know, my parents were divorced. I've always had, you know, something from that. There's different things. There's
or having a parent that had to work. I mean, had to work. I mean, we all have to work. But Right. Sometimes there's an effect from that where the parent is not available. There's many
Everyone
sources
has their
of
stuff.
Not available. Right.
Their
exactly.
stuff that they carry around with them.
Yeah.
And my childhood experience was that I was from a single-parent home in the 50s.
Oh, and that was hard, right, Deborah?
So my mother was really disturbed by that, but she didn't express her feelings. There was this sense of secrecy. Nobody was discussing what the problem could have been. It was that kind of uncomfortable silence mm-hmm. that really got me.
That's
and
interesting, yeah.
That impelled me to write the book, really, to try to... I think if there was a book, if there was something that she could have addressed with me, that would have been helpful.
It's about not feeling different for these children, not feeling that they're alone, that there are other children that
Right. They're
little friends that have come from those kind of families.
Well, and Right. It's also a comparison, you know. I mean, you talked about this, Jennifer, is, you know, one parent or one household that you go to and maybe they're all fighting or you see alcohol or you see people, you know, smoking pot and you're like, that's not how our house does it. You know, what's right, what's wrong, you know, or, you know, one parent is having an affair and the other person's left at home and you see them crying. There's things that you see as a child and you have no idea where to go to understand any of that. Any input?
And before you answer that, I also want to touch on that I think sometimes kids actually see and hear more than we realize they do. So they have
yeah.
a lot more information.
And they internalize it.
And they internalize it, and no one has addressed it because they don't really, they're like, oh, no, they didn't hear us.
Yeah. Warren, what's your thought?
Well, one of the things that when I'm working, and I worked, I think I mentioned it in one of the previous shows, I worked with group home children before I went into private practice, and they were 90% came from homes of alcohol. And children have a very egocentric view of the world. So they often believe that they are responsible for the dysfunction in the family in some way because they're not able to see that this thing can be completely separate from them. And that's
great
an,
point.
That
is
a great
huge
point.
Challenge
yeah.
that they
yeah.
go through.
Yeah, I love that. And again, that's Warren Broad, we've got Sherry Gaba here, Jennifer Chastain, I'm Kim Pagano, and we've got Tom Spence. We're talking with Deborah Alessandra. We're talking about 12 steps, 12 stories, and really it's the spiritual message of recovery for children and the child in you.
I'd love to hear an excerpt from the book. Is that possible,
yeah.
Deborah?
Sure. I'm not sure what you'd like. I have one. I could talk about each step and what that was, or I could just read part of the introduction.
Yeah, give us a couple of the steps.
Just
we didn't
taste
receive our
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
so we kind of know.
Just, yeah, perfect.
Well, step one is about Ed the dog, who's headstrong and unruly but lovable, and he struggles with running across the street. It's a concrete example for children about the compulsion to persist in pursuing something dangerous, even
oh, I love that.
Life threatening.
Well done.
What a great illustration for them.
Ed finds himself defeated, and like all of us, he has to admit that he's powerless in order to get better. So it helps children explore their own habits and apply this to the more serious nature of addiction that their parents are dealing with.
Yeah, I always say everybody needs the 12 steps. So what's so great, and I'm so excited about your book, Deborah, is that it's sort of a book on life, a book on how to live life, and they're getting these lessons at a young age.
Yeah, I think that that's excellent. I really do. Because it's interesting, sometimes we get to whatever age and we're like, oh my God, if I could only have learned this before.
If I only knew this years
ago.
Yeah,
and sometimes I want to teach our kids something. And of course, we talked about everybody has their journey. When they're ready, you know, what do they say? When the student is ready, the student
the master
will learn
appears,
or, you know.
Or something. It
will appear, right?
Yeah. So.
The problem is we're always in a, like I was saying on an earlier show today, it's always the crisis that brings us to this place. If only we could have this information before the crisis, right?
Well, I think that's true. Prevention starts early.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to a lot of places that have family programs other than Betty Ford, which is exemplary, of course. But a lot of times a treatment center will have a family program, but they rarely include younger children and have no material really to address their needs.
How's the response been, Deborah? Are the treatment centers wanting to use your material?
They have, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It is in the Betty Ford Bookstore and Karen Foundation, Hanley, and there's Father Martin's Ashley has it in their bookstore, so.
Excellent.
And you know, Warren, maybe you can help us with this, especially since you see a lot of children, too, is how can families benefit from this material? I mean, are they, you know, they're looking at which step can help them or, you know, is it, you know, little stories like you talked about?
Well, I think all of these programs, including the book, is whenever we can give parents any kind of tool, their entire mindset changes from, you know, really feeling helpless, really feeling like that they're lost and they don't know what to do. As soon as they're given a book, as soon as they're given even sometimes a pamphlet, just allows them to get some of the feeling back of, I can do something here. Because
right. It just begins the conversation.
Yeah. Is there a story in there that says it's not your fault, so to speak, like sort of using it as a metaphor?
Well, it's a story for each step, but in the preface, if you don't mind, I'll read this part where it says, for children, someone you love has a disease called alcoholism. They didn't choose to be an alcoholic. They didn't wish it upon themselves or the ones they love. Perhaps you didn't know much about the disease, and neither did they. Like many diseases, it gets worse over time instead of better. Please know that you are not alone. Many children are in the very same situation as you are. They number in the millions. I could go on, but I know that it's confusing for them and that I'm saying that I hope the stories will help them understand what their loved one's going through. And that, you know, I like what you said, Warren, about how kids think it's about them. But to me, I think kids often make up a story if they're not told the truth.
Yep.
Make something up, and then they live with that, whether it's valid or invalid, and that's
they'll manufacture something to just give either, you know, some kind of story or some kind of reality to it when confusion is, when they have the option of creating a story or sitting in confusion, they're going to go with the story.
And then it becomes their belief system, and then they start making choices around a faulty belief system that was never true in the first place.
Very, very true. Yeah.
Deborah, what kind of characters are in your book?
So the first one, as I said, was a dog.
Okay.
The second step is about a little boy. He's really child and like and innocent, and he has to let go of his old ideas and be willing to believe in a power greater than himself to open the door to a new life. The third one's about a cat named Chloe. You know how cats are so independent and self-reliant, and Chloe learns to be a little more God-reliant. They're really
I love that. What a great idea. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is brilliant.
The fourth one's a fish, and he has to uncover what's inside of him. And what I really like about that one, which happened to be the first one I wrote, was that he uncovers something beautiful, which I think takes a lot of pressure off people who are afraid of doing step four.
How about the growth? Event. Do you have a metaphor that explains the growth that occurs after recovery?
Oh, what a great idea.
Like a flower maybe growing or plant, or I don't know. I'm becoming an artist here.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me keep going. The fifth one's a bear, and he's been writing a lot. He's doing his inventory. He comes out of his little cave, and he gets honest with another bear and with God.
And he comes out of his cave.
About
that's nice.
Trusting someone and having someone in the life they can trust. The sixth one's about a little car who wants to be in a parade. It's about him moving forward in his life and solving problems, needing help to solve his problems. The seventh one's about Francis the Frog. Frogs are great symbols of transformation. Mm. So the eighth one's about a pencil because it's making a list. And pencils seem like a good character to make a list.
Wow, that's a really good. That's really great. Well, where do we find your book?
My book is on my website, 12 Steps, 12 Stories. That's the number 12 Steps, 12 Stories.
Okay.
It's available on Amazon and Kindle version, and I just currently finished the audio, so that should be available within the next month. I read the stories, and
that's great. Audio is good. I think that will serve the younger audience extremely well.
You know, I don't really visualize it as a book that you just hand a kid and say, "Here, read this." I think it's really vitally important that a counselor, a therapist, a grandparent, a parent, that someone sits with the child, and it's not, as you know, the steps are not, they're lifelong, ongoing process.
Maybe we need to get them in the schools, you know.
Well, yeah, and then the person reading the stories to the child can sort of say how it relates to their life and their story.
Right. And then because I have some teaching background, after each story I put little questions and answers, so that could continue the conversation.
Yeah.
And
wow,
on my website, I have additional
going,
worksheets. After you buy the book, there's little color sheets for kids to use as well.
Oh, I love it. You've
I'm getting
really
that
done
book definitely
an
for
amazing
my practice.
Job.
Yeah,
well,
for
thank
sure.
you. Yeah, thank you so much, Deborah. And is this your first book?
It is, and I have another one coming.
Great. Keep in touch with us. We'd love to have you back. And, you know, again, thank you so much for sharing this. Much needed.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a really quick break. Warren, stay with us, and we're going to be right back. I'd love to give away something right now, and Denise has given us, Denise Butler has given us a boudoir, and it's actually a sweetheart session, and it's 1 hour in studio or a local on location for two people, and that's just a 20 retouch proofs with one matted 5x7, and since it's all about love is in the air and the holidays and all that, I'd love to give that away right now. And again, that's Denise Butler, and it's 805-419-0008. Give us a call right now so that you can get that picture too. With that, we're going to take a really quick break. You're listening to The Brighter Side of Recovery, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
You can be amazing. You can turn a phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's going to hurt you.
Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
MJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, digital infrared thermal imaging is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Westlake Village, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready. 310-463-2318 or visit tiofsc.com.
Have you always wanted to meditate but weren't sure where to begin? In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a new necessity. Audrey Walzer, director of the Camarillo Yoga Center, has taught hundreds of people in the 805 the fundamentals of non-religious mindfulness meditation, which is scientifically proven to downregulate the stress response. Visit the mindfulness page at www.camarilloyoga.com and listen to what people have to say about Audrey's remarkable 9-week mindfulness course, beginning soon. Make a healthy, balanced life your project for 2015. www.camarilloyoga.com.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. Sherry Gaba, Jennifer Chastain, Warren Broad, Kim Pagano, and Tom Spence. And we've been talking really about loving yourself. And you know, Warren, I really want to, I'm going to direct this to you for a second. Tell us something that, you know, one of your tips that we can end our show with and, you know, something that you're working with.
Well, one of the things that I've seen growing in my own practice and what I seem to be teaching more and more of is personal accountability, is getting people to a point in their lives where they're not letting the small voice let them off the hook, and that the more that we listen to our higher selves, the more that we hold ourselves accountable, the better our lives become. And it's not about reaching perfection in any way. It's just simply about saying to yourself on a regular basis, what am I looking to achieve, and what am I doing to get there?
Wow, that's great. That's really good. I mean, you know, it's funny because I just in our blog, in our newsletter, just wrote about that. We're kind of after the hustle bustle of the new, you know, of the newness of the year. And now it's kind of like, a moment to take a look at where are we going?
Are we going to make a change? You know? Are we going to be back in the same place next year thinking, okay, this is my year?
Because people sometimes, again, get addicted to the story.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, definitely. And Warren, so leave us with one really amazing tip.
Well, the tip that I learned years ago was effective time management. So checking in with yourself on a Sunday night or I would say Monday morning, might be leaving it a little late, but some people are good with that, of looking at what do I want done this week and deciding what our non-negotiables are. And what am I absolutely going to hold myself to this week so that we can finish each week with a sense of accomplishment rather than just looking at, oh, that I did a whole bunch of busy work again.
Wow, that's great.
And having balance, especially the person that loves the addict, is having your own balance in your life. I mean, we say it, we use it so often that it becomes like a cliche, but it really is true. You have to take care of yourself.
Even if you don't have issues with... if you're not in love with an addict or doing that, just in general, to be your fullest
person.
Not keep
spinning your wheels.
Exactly. You've got to have balance. You
and
can't
stay
overcommit.
Awake. And to stay all awake.
All of that.
Yeah. Warren, give out your information for everybody, please.
I can be found at warrenbroad.com, and that really is the best way. I have a contact link there, and always happy to speak with anyone that is interested in
pushing their life forward.
Great. All right. Well, again, we're so glad that you are part of our team. And again, I want everybody to call up, get one of our newsletters. You can find out a little bit about
all
of us.
Ask us questions. I keep saying, you know, email us, ask questions. What is it you want to know? What do you need help with? We're here to answer those questions.
You have three different opinions. We'd be happy to help.
There you go. Got lots of opinions, right?
That's there right. We actually have four.
I love it. Anyways, we are going to end our show with a moment of happiness. What feels like the end is often just the beginning. With that, Warren, thank you so much for joining us. Sherry, Jennifer, Tom, and all of our listeners, again, take this day to really just start your day all over again. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery. And we'll talk to you next week.